else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Police say the gunman who shot David Ortiz is now in custody, but he's only one of a group of men who were hired to strike that hit on the former Red Sox slugger. The director of the Dominican National Police says the group was offered $8,000 to kill the star. A total of five people arrested so far. They're still looking for a few more. Ortiz was ambushed on Sunday night at a bar in his hometown of Santo Domingo and was flown back to Boston then for medical treatment by the Boston Red Sox. He's now expected to recover. Severe weather is on its way back to the Central Plains, as forecasters are predicting severe storms in the southern high plains tonight from West Texas to East Colorado. Residents throughout the region are being warned to watch out for large hail, local flash flooding, and damaging wind gusts as much as 70 miles an hour. The storms can threaten communities from El Paso to Colorado Springs. Amanda Knox is nervous about returning to Italy for the first time since she was released from prison 8 years ago. Knox was wrongfully convicted of killing her roommate in 2007 and spent 4 years in jail before being cleared, but she's returning to Italy to speak to the Italy Innocence Project, saying the return trip has her feeling a bit frayed. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes. The traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll share my thoughts on why our do-nothing Congress should be voting on the Victims' Compensation Fund extension instead of fighting amongst themselves over Trump, Russia, and Mueller. I'll talk about 10 ways to get yourself moving when you'd rather procrastinate, and I'll be talking about why you should be using Facebook for your business. It's Thursday, June 13th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows it's currently 60 degrees at 12:05. Today, we're going to have rain early, showers in the afternoon with a high of 64 and a low of 53. For tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 72 and a low of 52. For Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 83 and a low of 63. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy in the morning with thunderstorms in the evening, a high of 84 degrees and a low of 67. And a current check of the financial market shows that the Dow Jones Industrial is up 56.35 to 26,061.34. The NASDAQ is up 42.10 to 78,34.82. S&P 500 is up 8.83 to 2,888.67. Oil is up $1.50 to $52.64 per barrel. And gold up $6.60 to $1,343.40 an ounce. Well, Well, once again, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to Taking Care of Business. Always glad to get back together with you on the show here. I missed last week, and I do apologize for that. I very rarely want to have business get in front of this show. But last week I had to work 94 hours myself. Jen, my engraver, worked 94 hours. Susan worked about 75 hours to get all of the orders done and out the door last week. It just seemed like everybody held all their orders to the last minute, and then wham, it was all due on Friday. So I do apologize for that. I don't like missing the show. And I got a lot of emails and text messages. Is everything okay? What's going on? I don't hear the show today. You know, so I do apologize for that. And in radio, in any radio station, I don't care whether it's, you know, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, internet-based radio, worst thing you can do is just not have a program play or having dead air. And so when I tuned in last week and heard nothing, you know, I got a little nervous over that, and I do apologize once again. Hopefully we won't have that happen too many times where I have to interrupt the show or we'll play a replay of a previous broadcast. If you're listening to the program right now, you're probably listening online on your cell phone on WHCR-DB, or you're online at 100inchamberradio.com. I'd also ask you to open up another browser, go to Facebook, and search and find Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and like and follow that page. And periodically throughout the week, I'll post things that I think are of interest to you that may affect your business or may be newsworthy that you may not have heard about. I think it's important that we stay in contact with one another. And if you ever have questions or comments about a show, you can leave them there, or you can email me directly at trophyjim@yahoo.com. During the program every week, we have the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And today's comes from Sir Richard Branson, who's the founder of the Virgin Group. And he says, "My biggest motivation, just to keep challenging myself. I see life almost like one long university education that I never had. Every day, I'm learning something new." When I read this quote, I said, stop the presses. This is the quote of the week. And the reason was, I'm asking you, are you learning something new every day? There was a lady on Jeopardy 6 or 8 months ago, and she did very well. I think she won 3 or 4 games, and Alex Trebek had asked her, you know, what do you attribute your knowledge to? And she said that her father told her when she was a very young girl that she should try to learn 3 new things every day. And whether that was by experience, by book work, or something else, try to learn 3 new things every day. And Richard Branson, who's a billionaire several times over, basically is saying the same thing. My biggest motivation, just to keep challenging myself. I see life almost like one long university education that I never had. Every day, I'm learning something new. So are you learning something new in your business or in the world around you that could affect your business? And I don't know that a lot of people are doing that. It seems like a lot of business owners are doing a Groundhog Day thing, just doing the same thing every day, waking up and not getting any better, not improving themselves, not improving their business, not learning new ways of doing things, looking for new products. So hopefully you'll take Richard Branson's quote to heart and learn something new every day. It's the best way to build your business. It's the best way to build you as a person as well. Looking forward to tonight. If you're not doing anything around 7 p.m., why not head over to Bridgewater, Raritan High School. Tonight is the 7th annual Basilone Bowl. I'll be announcing that this evening and looking forward to that. Always a good time. They take about 5 or 6 players from every school in Somerset County and 2 in Hunterdon County. And it's a chance for the senior players to showcase their talents one more time. Several of these players will be playing college football, and it's just a good night out with the family. So if you get a chance tonight at 7 p.m., head over to Bridgewater Raritan High School for the 7th annual Basilone Bowl, and the proceeds will benefit many veterans groups as well. So hopefully you can join us there. All right. As we get into the program, just wanted to check one thing. Let's talk about Facebook for a minute and your business. And I know that the preview to the show said that I would have my thoughts on the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. That's going to be coming up at after the break. So I'll get into that in just a few minutes as well. But I wanted to talk to you for a minute about Facebook and whether or not it was right for you and your business. And so most small business experts recommend using Facebook to promote your small business. Social media is the new word-of-mouth technique. Most of the people you know probably have a Facebook account, and they can support your business and share it with others easily through your Facebook page. Each section of your account provides an opportunity to reach customers. So here is the best way to use Facebook for business in the most effective way. The first is the About section. Just like a website, you want to fill out and make your profile as complete as possible on Facebook. You don't want to leave anything to chance. You don't want to assume that people know who you are, where you are, and what you do. So the About section tells people who you are and how to find you. It should also include a brief description that tells visitors to the page what your company does or what it sells. You may include your mission statement or what makes your business special. The section also contains your contact details. You should list your company's website, phone number, street address, and any other information a customer may find useful. Do you have parking on site? Your homepage, this is your Facebook's account's front page. Visitors can see all your posts and updates, and you can pin important updates such as a reminder of a sale you're having at the top of the page. To ensure that you're posting regularly and thus keeping the page active, you can schedule posts in advance. This is a great time management feature, especially for beginners who are trying to incorporate maintaining a social media presence into their daily to-do list. Your homepage is the main place you interact with your customers. They can like or comment on your post, answer all comments as soon as you can, just as you would if they called you on the phone, and share relevant material from other sources and engage in conversations with people who make comments. Post accomplishments or milestones to share your story and let others celebrate with you. Use the page to establish solid relationships with your customers, not just sell them your products or services all the time. This is the opportunity for you to create that personal connection with your customers. And once you make it personal, once they start to like you as an individual, not just your business or your products, once they feel they can trust you, then they're going to be loyal customers. Events is another thing you can create on Facebook. So creating an event is a good way to organize the content of your page whenever you have a specific event or promotion you want to share. Those who see the event can RSVP to it, which not only helps you gauge their interest, but also provides them with built-in reminders when the time of the event approaches. You can invite people to your event and create a Facebook ad to promote it to your target audience. Your customers can also share your event and invite others to it, which will increase awareness. And finally, reviews. It's easy for customers to give you feedback through your Facebook page by posting reviews. They can give you a 1 to 5 star rating and add explanations for the rating that they give. The great thing about this feature is that new visitors to your page can get a firsthand account from satisfied customers on what makes your business stand out. If you want to reach more customers, Facebook is one of the easiest marketing tools you can use. As new followers like your page, you can build the story of what makes your business unique. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'll have you my thoughts on the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And this week, I believe it was on Tuesday, members of FDNY, the NYPD, first responders, along with comedian John Stewart, went down to Washington to testify on the need to extend the Victims' Compensation Fund. It was a packed house of firefighters, police department members, and EMTs. But on the other side of the table, it wasn't so full on the subcommittee side. There were about six or seven members of Congress sitting there listening. And I thought that John Stewart gave a very impassioned plea as to why the Victims' Compensation Fund should be continued. And I wanted to play a snippet of that for you and then give you my thoughts on it as well. So here's John Stewart testifying before that congressional subcommittee.
Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. The official FDNY response time to 9/11 was 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's how long it took for FDNY, for NYPD, for Port Authority, for EMS, to respond to an urgent need from the public. 5 seconds. Hundreds died in an instant. Your indifference cost these men and women their most valuable commodity, time. It's the one thing they're running out of. This should be flipped. This hearing should be flipped. These men and women should be up on that stage, and Congress should be down here answering their questions as to why this is so damn hard and takes so damn long. They responded in 5 seconds. They did their jobs with courage, grace, tenacity, humility. 18 years later, do yours. Thank you.
And John Stewart went on to get a standing ovation from the firefighters in the room. Many of the congressmen, if you watch the video, had polite but muted applause. I guess they don't like being told to do their job. But it's something that they haven't been doing all term. You know, while we hear about the Mueller investigation, we hear about Russia, we hear about collusion, we hear about Trump, we hear about impeachment, what else is Congress doing? And the fact is, very little. They're meeting with each other, they're strategizing, they're trying to figure out what they're doing, but they're not doing what we sent them there to do, to serve. And that's what's pissing me off the most. By the people, for the people. It's not happening. And it hasn't happened in Congress in many years, if not decades. 9/11 is very personal for me because I joined my brother-in-law as part of 21 trucks that brought the first pieces of equipment into New York City that night. We met, the call went out, and we met at Hoffman Equipment down in South Plainfield. We had a state police escort over to the Brooklyn Navy Yard. We offloaded, and then the equipment was brought to what was then called the pile or ground zero. I can still remember the smoke and ash floating through the air. And it's that same smoke and ash that has made firefighters, policemen, EMTs sick. We were told all along the air quality is fine. You have nothing to worry about. And then within weeks, firefighters were having trouble breathing because they had been on that pile and in the pit for so long that it was starting to affect their breathing. Then it comes out that the dust contained asbestos and other carcinogens. I'm very proud of the fact that my brother-in-law and I and others were part of the first response in getting into New York City with the heavy equipment. It was my hope that we would find survivors. And as you know, there weren't. I lost four friends that day. And it just seems like we're forgetting. But if you remember 9/11 and the 6 months afterwards, everybody was shaking each other's hands on the street, saying hello. We became a community once again. And it seems as if over time, that's starting to fade. EMTs, firefighters, and police are a different breed. And while everyone else is running away from danger, we run towards it. Just like the victims did that fateful day, and now they have to fight for every penny with Congress. On one Facebook post the other day, a person wrote, "Why should we give them compensation? They were just doing their job. They have benefits." Well, there's a problem with that statement. Yes, they were just doing their job, but it was a job like no other. It was like nothing they'd prepared for, nothing they'd trained for. We didn't prepare for a plane hitting a building. Firefighters prepare for hazardous material spills. We prepare for fires in buildings. We prepare for rescues. But we don't prepare for 104-story buildings to come crashing down on top of us. And the other part that makes that comment wrong about the fact that they have benefits is usually in health insurance, there's what they call a lifetime cap, usually $500,000. That's going to be exhausted in their lifetime, if it hasn't already for most of these people, because you have to consider the cost of chemotherapy, the cost of doctor's visits, the cost of traveling to cancer centers like MD Anderson in Houston or Sloan Kettering or Johns Hopkins. All of that adds up. And a lot of these people, firefighters, EMS, and police department members, are using their personal savings, their 401ks, and other savings mechanisms to pay for that travel. So the Victims' Compensation Fund was set up to offset some of that. And now it runs the risk of running out of money in the year 2020, next year. Oh, by the way, that's an election year. The plan and the bill that John Stewart was fighting for so hard, and that we should all be fighting for so hard, is to extend the compensation, not for 5 years, as Congress is proposing, but for the full 70 that it was originally written for. What the reason it came up with that date was there could be certain firefighters who were 20 years old, and if they lived 70 years, you know, if they lived to the age of 90, actuarially speaking, then that would bring it to adding 70 years to the plan. But what about the lost compensation when these firefighters, police, EMS, can't work any longer? When you talk to any financial planner, they'll talk about your earnings capability. If you're 40 years old and you make a salary of $70,000 a year and you would retire 25 years from now, multiply 70,000 times 25 the years that you had. And what is that number? That's your earnings potential. That's what these people are losing. They won't be able to save that money because they're not going to earn it. Don't talk to me about disability. Don't talk to me about Medicare. Don't talk to me about Medicaid or welfare. That's not what these people wanted. They signed up to do a job. Congress will sit on its collective asses and do nothing. And for 18 years, they've done nothing. Yesterday, it was announced that the bill was approved to be extending benefits beyond 2020, when it currently expires, for 70 years of the VCF, and it was sent to the full House for review and a vote. Chuck Schumer, a Democratic senator, on the floor of the Congress, literally said, "I plead with you, I implore you, I am begging you to take this to a vote and get it approved so we can then send it to the Senate." But he had a caveat in there. He said, "We will approve this, but it will stall in the Senate because of one person, Mitch McConnell. And if Mitch McConnell does stall this in any way, the whole nation should rise up against him." Now, again, it has to go to the Senate to be ratified. But there's no timetable for any of these votes. This could sit in committee for years. And the victims and the families have to wait and wait and wait. They deserve better. We, as Americans, deserve better. We have, as I said, a do-nothing Congress that has literally done nothing since being elected. They snipe and they fight and they whine about President Trump and Russia and Mueller, but they do not want to do what we sent them to Washington to do, to govern, to enact laws that will benefit society. And when they aren't fighting with each other, and when they aren't fighting amongst themselves, well, then they're out campaigning to get reelected. Maybe that is why the hearing room the other day was so devoid of members of Congress. They were too busy to care about firefighters, first responders, and policemen who answered the call every time. While Congress is sleeping in their mansions, they answer the call. While Congress is eating in swanky D.C. restaurants, they answer the call. While Congress is out trying to get reelected, they answer the call. While they continue to fight and argue over Trump, Mueller, and Russia, they answer the call every single time. The time is now. Call for a vote today, not tomorrow. Call your congressmen, call your senators, call your congresswomen, whoever is your representative, and tell them that you want a vote brought forward on the VCF now, and that you want them to vote for it. And if they don't, you'll vote against them at the time of the next reelection. We can't wait till next year, next month, next year. It's too late. As John said, these people are running out of time. Their lives are already affected. The one gentleman sitting next to John Stewart was going to, for his 69th chemo treatment yesterday. We need to enact this legislation now and give these people the peace of mind that they so desperately need to know that their families will be taken care of when they're not here to do it for them. The time is now for Congress and the Senate to do their jobs that they were sent to Washington to do. Just like our first responders, police, and fire do every day, they must do their jobs now. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump raising more than a few eyebrows in an interview that aired last night in which he said he'd accept dirt on political foes if it was offered by a foreign government.
Not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
Generally supportive of President Trump, this time Senator Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina Republican, says the president is wrong.
A foreign government comes to you as a public official and offers to help your campaign, giving you anything of value, whether it be money or information on your opponent, the right answer is no.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops approving a third-party system to report allegations of sexual abuse by clergy. Complaints could be made over the Internet or by phone. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and glad to be a part of the community for the past 10 years working here in Flemington, and looking forward to even better things coming in the next 10 years as well. So thanks again to the folks from Flemington who have made us feel so welcome here and supported our business over the years. Wanted to talk to you, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, about procrastination. And I'm hearing this word more and more from the business owners that I deal with. Sometimes I might give them an assignment, something I want them to do, and I'll check back with you in 2 weeks and see, you know, how you've made out. And then I'll hear excuses, but I won't hear action, what I call the E&E principle, effort and execution. And so I get a little ticked off when they don't do what I ask, because if you're going to pay me money to help fix your business, the least thing you can do is put in the effort. It's not up to me to come in and fix your business. It's up to you. All I can do is show you the tools to make it happen. So let's talk about procrastination. Procrastination makes easy things hard and hard things harder, said Mason Cooley, and truer words have never been spoken. Now, there may be no bigger time management hurdle than the habit of procrastination. It's a common scenario. You have a job to do, but for some reason you put it off. It weighs on your mind, but you still don't do it. And the longer you put it off, the more daunting it gets, and finally you find yourself in a last-minute panic, trying desperately to get at least the bare minimum done before your inertia results in disaster. Sound familiar? Well, it probably does. Almost everyone at some point procrastinates on occasion. And for some people, procrastination is almost a way of life. They even brag about it. People may procrastinate for many reasons. Well, maybe it's because of one of these. You're feeling overwhelmed and you just can't focus on doing what it takes to get out from under the pressure. You're uncertain about exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Or you're a perfectionist paralyzed by the potential for failure or falling short of expectations. Or you're just not motivated or feeling any sense of urgency. Or you're facing a task that's too challenging or that you simply don't enjoy, so you keep putting it off until you finally feel up to it. Do any of those scenarios sound familiar? These are the types of excuses I'll get from people. And the one that bothers me the most is, if you're uncertain about exactly what you're supposed to be doing, rather than putting it off, wouldn't it be better to ask for some clarification from somebody so that you wouldn't, you know, feel that way? If you're feeling overwhelmed, if it's a task that's too challenging or it's a monumental task, what I tell people to do is break it up into small, bite-sized chunks. Create small tasks within the larger task, and as you check them off, eventually you realize you've just completed the big task. It's kind of like what Mark Twain used to say when he said, eat a live frog first thing in the morning. What he meant was, your day can't get anything but better after that. In any case, you have the sense that you aren't equipped to handle the task at present, so you push it forward in time for your future self to deal with. And if that future self is going to be more motivated, more confident, and better equipped than you are currently. Fact is, your future self is still just you. And eventually, you end up dealing with the fallout from your procrastination in the form of extra stress, rushed work, lower quality results, and sometimes even missed deadlines. It's a recipe for self-defeat, even for those who claim they work better under pressure. How do you break the habit of procrastination? So how do you get – and let's take it one step further. I know people in my industry that have to order material from certain vendors. And there's, even though they have like a standard production time, a lot of times they have rush schedules, 5 days, 3 days, 1 day. But what happens is when you go from your standard lead time to the 5 day, to the 3 day, to the 1 day, your price goes up significantly. So rather than waiting for the last minute to do that one-day rush to complete the job for your customer, do it over here where it was a standard lead time and save some money. Make more money for your business. Again, how do you break the habit? How can you get moving when you're feeling pinned down by procrastination? I have 10 tips for you. So get your pen and paper ready for achieving forward momentum in the face of inertia. The first is to examine your state of mind and identify just what about the task you're facing is making you reluctant to tackle it. There's probably something in particular that you perceive as potentially difficult or uncomfortable. Our brains readily come up with excuses to put off unpleasant experiences. And if you can identify specifically what's bugging you, though, it can put the problem into better perspective and may even suggest an action plan. Can you imagine if your doctor was going to do knee surgery on you and just said, I just don't feel like it. My heart's not in it today. That's the kind of thing. Sometimes you just have to dive in. The next step is, are you the problem or is someone else the problem? If you're procrastinating to avoid contact with someone who needs to be involved, then you need to set it aside or possibly address that issue in a more direct way. Conflict and relationship issues can't be your excuse for not getting your work done. If you're hesitating because you're confused or unclear about the process or expectations involved in the assignment, ask for clarification or assistance. It's hard to get motivated to do something if you don't have a clear vision. However, stewing in your own juices isn't going to lead to progress. If you need help, admit it and then go get it. Number four, being overwhelmed with too many tasks can lead to a lockdown as your brain juggles multiple obligations. Get a handle on what you've got on your plate by writing a list, breaking larger projects into smaller projects, and then prioritizing them. I think I just said that. Don't be a hero. If you're already working at capacity, you need to set and maintain boundaries. Nobody can do everything. Work within your own capabilities and don't be afraid to say no if others are trying to load too much onto your shoulders. Other people will always assume you have the bandwidth to handle their requests unless you tell them otherwise. And sometimes they're giving you projects that they should be working on, so make sure you're not afraid to say no. Number six, get over the idea that you have to be perfect. It's been said that procrastination is often the sign of a perfectionist. That's because the fear of making mistakes can paralyze you. The trouble is that this fear of failure leads to a scenario where failure is actually more likely. Except that mistakes might happen, it's still better to get something accomplished than nothing at all. Take the first small step. Rather than getting bogged down thinking about all the moving parts and smaller tasks that may be involved in a big project, just get started on something. Remember, the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Any movement forward will tend to lead to more movement. The key is to get things rolling. And then, like I said before, break your project into smaller goals and put them on a schedule with clear deadlines. Block out time on your calendar to work towards specific goals. Aim for a time during the day or week that is usually highly productive for you when you have enough energy to get the job done. Maybe it's first thing in the morning. Maybe you're more of an afternoon person. Maybe you're an evening person. Or you find that you have an abundance of energy on a Saturday or Sunday. Feel free to work then, too. When it talks about breaking your project into smaller goals, I remember when my son was in fifth grade, he was given an assignment by one of his teachers on biomes. And this was college-level material in the fifth grade, which it should never have been. It was confusing for me, and he was so overwhelmed in October, even though it was due in December, that I finally took out a calendar and I wrote down what I wanted him to accomplish every single day. And sometimes it might be drawing a picture. It might be, you know, typing a caption on the computer. And remember, he's only in fifth grade. But if he accomplished all of those little steps along the way, by the end, he would have a decent project. And he did it very religiously. Every day he completed his next task, his next task, his next task, to the point where at the end, with about a week to go before it was ready to be handed in, he was done. He handed it in, he got a 100%, an A, and the teacher even asked, could she keep the copy for future classes? To which we said, no, because with the amount of work he just put into this thing, he may need this someday in the future. So the breaking the project into smaller tasks is huge, and I do this every day at work, and I encourage people to do it. You know, when you have to pay bills, pay rent, pay payroll, you have to order material, you have to build projects, there's so many balls that are up in the air, just grab one and do it. And if it means you have to take 15 minutes to pay a bill, to write a check, do it. And then it's off your plate. Now move on to the next. If you need to take a break or stop in the middle of a task or a project, do it strategically by stopping at a point where the next step is obvious and easy to take. This will help you get the ball rolling again when you come back to it. Find an effective way to deal with your stress. Stress and burnout are among the most debilitating causes of procrastination. So exploring options for stress relief can help you prevent the mental lockdown that can result and overwhelm you with exhaustion. So hopefully some of those tips will help you as you move forward and you find yourself in that procrastination realm where you can get out of it. And, you know, Larry Winget had a great reminder for people. He called it TNT, today, not tomorrow. And if I find myself procrastinating for any reason, I'll just tell myself TNT, today, not tomorrow, and I'll get it done. Larry even sells notepads with TNT on it. So you want to make sure that you're getting things done. And the best thing you can do, like the story said, write a list. What do you need to accomplish? I have a whiteboard. It's about this big with a whiteboard eraser or marker. And if something pops into my head, you know, pay JCP&L, boom, I write it down. Build order for so-and-so, I write it down. And this way, when I'm done with those tasks, I wipe off. There's no better feeling at the end of the day than having a clean whiteboard. It's also no better feeling during the day. If I have one or two tasks left, they're going to the top of the list for tomorrow. But they'll be done, you know. But if you just try to keep juggling things in your head, you're going to miss some. Let's talk about Instagram for a minute and how you can use Instagram for your business. And again, social media may not be on your radar as a useful tool for your business. You may have a personal Instagram account that you use to share pictures of your family or your last vacation, but you don't really see how it fits into your advertising plan for the products or services you sell. With millions of users worldwide, however, using Instagram for business can be an inexpensive but effective marketing strategy. So how can you use it to your advantage? How do you know if Instagram is right for your business? Instagram is primarily a visual platform, so it works best for small businesses that are artistic or creative in nature. With good photography skills, you can highlight your creations and give them a wider audience than just the customers who visit your store or website. Now, while there is no current way for small business owners to sell directly from the application, this idea is in beta testing and may be a reality within the next year or two. Then you can just let the pictures of your works do the selling for you. So how do you set up an Instagram account for your business? You can convert a personal profile to a business profile in a few easy steps. Click on the three bars at the top of your profile and choose Switch to Business Profile under your settings. That's it. You now have a business profile on Instagram. You don't want to stop there, of course. You can add several items of interest to make your account stand out. A profile picture with your company logo or your most popular product. A short description of your business, the URL to your website would also be helpful, and your contact information. Now, how do you run your business Instagram account? You want to be posting eye-catching photos, so take the time to play with the filters in the app or use other photo editing apps to enhance the look of your pictures before you post them. Sharing high-quality content on a regular basis is a good start to running your account well. Your content can be great, but if no one knows it's there, it doesn't get your business much attention. Hashtags are an easy way to attract visitors. If you are posting a picture of the latest piece of jewelry you made, for example, you could use hashtags such as #custom jewelry or #silver. Your post then shows up anytime someone clicks on or searches for that hashtag. Finally, interact with other users. Reply to comments on your post in a timely manner. Follow similar accounts and like their photos. You can also use Instagram Stories, a feature that allows you to post temporary content that disappears after 24 hours. To post polls, show videos, and answer any questions. Instagram is a great way to attract attention to the beautiful works you create and may be the right social media platform for your small business. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook are at least the minimum three. I tell people to be on LinkedIn, but not necessarily to promote products or sales there. That's more of a professional database. But definitely you want to be on the big three. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about how millennials are changing the housing market. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the host of this program and the owner of Crown Trophy in Flemington. And again, so glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about issues that affect businesses large and small, both here in Flemington and around the country as well. Wanted to talk to you. I've written an interesting article about millennials and how they are affecting the housing market. Now, millennials are getting accused of a lot of things. Napkins and Applebee's may have been successful targets, but the housing market won't be. The millennial generation has been the butt of jokes for late-night television hosts and political pundits, but millennials are more than their stereotypes. With the oldest millennials now approaching the age of 40, buying a house is finally becoming a reality for many. But their process for doing so is very different from their parents. For real estate investors and home improvement providers, these changes are going to require a shift in strategy. Now, the kids are mostly all right. Thanks to the housing and stock market crashes in late 2000, millennials have rented for longer than their parents did. But that also meant they had more time to save. So instead of purchasing cheaper starter options, the millennial housing market is made up of more expensive properties featuring competition from baby boomers and Gen Xers. Thanks to some particular real estate habits, millennials put service providers in a really unique position. Here's why. It's called rising up. Millennials make up the largest buying segment for real estate, which turns them into your largest client base. Basic marketing strategies tell you to target the group most likely to need your help, and this is it. Even despite climbing interest rates, they're still buying. They've had a long time to prepare for this step, which means the people who can make it possible will be highly sought after. And you also have to market the way they want to be marketed to. It's not the yellow pages. It's not the newspaper. It's not TV advertising. You're going to need to be on social if you want to be successful marketing to this group. Then you have what is called the HGTV effect. Even though millennials have saved up for a house, they're still frugal. A little over half of them are willing to invest in a fixer-upper. That means they'll need experts to update plumbing, electricity, floor plans, and fixtures while still keeping their costs low. And keep it steady. Now, although millennials have a reputation for job and house hopping, that's actually a misconception. Gen Xers change jobs at their age just as often as current millennials do, and the latter move less often than their parents and grandparents. This means the millennial housing market is much more stable, seeing as they're more likely to stay put when they purchase a house. They also tend to see properties as investments, which will need maintenance to stay profitable.
And of course, there's no place like home, almost. With these inside tips on millennial home buying, what are you as a service provider supposed to do? Here's a couple of ideas. SEO is more important than ever. Having grown up during the internet boom, millennials are no stranger to online searches. In fact, it's a whopping 99%. 99% of millennials begin looking for a home this way. This also means they'll look for services like electricians and plumbers there too. You'll need to optimize your business to get found online or else you won't get found at all, especially in local search engine optimization. Now, most likely your business only services clients in a particular geographic area. So use this specificity to your advantage. The old adage of location, location, location still rings true for millennial home buyers. Honing your SEO strategy to focus on both demographics and locations can help first-time home buyers find your services over those of your competitors. And so are smartphones. Making sure your business shows up at the top of the SERPs is important, but it's not everything. Millennials use their phones more often than computers to search for help. So even if your main website is optimized for SEO, if it's not optimized for mobile searching, you won't get the engagement that you need. Directories can either make or break you. Now, when millennials are on the hunt for service providers, they're heading to directories for suggestions. Most of them require your site to be doing well outside of the listing in order to rank high on the directory too, but making sure your directory listings are accurate and accessible is incredibly important. This is why, as I've been telling you for the last 6 months, you have to capture your Google My Business listing and make sure all of the information is completed there. Buyer's remorse is a big deal. A whopping 63% of millennial home buyers have regrets about their home purchase. Many were unprepared for the maintenance homes require to stay livable. But that's where you can come in as a service provider. By offering expertise along with affordable solutions to common household problems, homeowners will be more likely to feel happy with their home and keep coming back to you for their upkeep. I don't get no respect. On a more psychological level, millennials are tired of being seen as non-functioning adults. And with the consistent millennial bashing, they're looking for people to treat them as equals. And thereon, that extends to the housing market. Giving them respect is key. They're adults. Even though they may be quite a bit younger than you, when offering services or insights into the market, be mindful of this. The future of home buyer is in the hands of millennials for now. When the younger siblings, the Gen Z, arrive on the scene, things may look a little different. But adjusting your strategy to accommodate that fast-moving generation can mean great returns for your business. And please, no more jokes about participation trophies. We're running out of shelf space there. So I think as far as service providers are concerned, electricians, well, there's two parts to this story. As far as service providers are concerned, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, handymen, landscapers, the millennials, and there's actually college courses and continuing education courses on what they call adulting now, because their parents had done so much for them, they don't know the simple basics of how to repair a hole in drywall. One kid in a class didn't know how to boil water for spaghetti. So I'm not saying the kids are needy. They can certainly learn all of these things, maybe hard at first. But if you come in as the expert, you can either show them how to do things or do it for them. But what we also are seeing is that so many people, there's such a gap in the trades where there aren't enough plumbers, there aren't enough electricians, there aren't enough carpenters. So if you're a young person today and you don't know where you want to be in 10 or 15 years, I would consider going into the trades. Always good money, and as we've seen with that story, probably the opportunity to make a lot more money over time because there's going to be a greater need with millennials and the Gen Z folks buying properties. So if you are an electrician, plumber, carpenter, and you're relying on old methods, if you're not on the internet, if you don't have a Facebook page, an up-to-date and very good website, a mobile-friendly website, if you haven't claimed your Google My Business page, if you're not looking at your listings on various directories like Manta and Yahoo and Google, etc., you've got to start claiming these things. Your homework assignment, my kids, is Google the name of your business. And I want you to do two things when you do. Look for all of the times your name, your business name is mentioned. If it's a directory, look at it. And there's usually a tab saying, do you own this business, claim this listing, etc. Do it. Claim it. Say, yes, I do own it. And then put in the hours of operation. put in what credit cards you accept. Put in, is there parking? What service you provide? Give a brief description of your business so that people can see who you are and what you do. If you're older, let's say, and you don't know how to do it, find a kid who can. And they're out there. Any high schooler would be able to know how to update your Google My listing or Google My Business page listing. But you have to claim it as quickly as possible. And you have to get out there. And you have to market to this generation the way they're used to being marketed to. And it's not done in the newspaper. It's all done right here. So make sure that you're mobile friendly, that people can find your listing, and that you're doing everything you can, particularly in local search, to make yourself available to them. Otherwise, I fear more and more businesses will go out of business simply because they were too ignorant to take that step. In sports, in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors could close out the NBA Finals tonight with a win over the Golden State Warriors. They lead that series 3-2. In Major League Baseball news, David Ortiz has undergone a second surgery in Boston after being shot in his beloved Dominican Republic over the weekend. New evidence since the shooting looks like this was an organized assassination attempt on Ortiz. Six men are now in custody following the shooting, and we want to wish the best of luck to Big Poppy. In the NHL playoffs, the St. Louis Blues are your Stanley Cup champions this year after defeating the Boston Bruins last night by the score of 4-1. In NASCAR news, Joey Logano won last week's Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan. This week, the teams have the weekend off, and we'll be back in action next week. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. Don't forget, tonight, 7 p.m., Bridgewater-Raritan High School is the Bazelone Bowl. Hope to see you there. Honor our veterans. If you are a veteran, come out and be recognized by the community as well. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime will help.
You're listening to WHCR-DB. HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The White House is downplaying President Trump's suggestion that he'd accept help from a foreign government to win the 2020 election. Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley tells Fox News that the president's comments were edited.
Look, I wish that the media would take the time to look at the full clip. I was standing just feet away from the president in his exchange with George Stephanopoulos. It was very clear. The president said if there was wrongdoing, of course he'd turn it over to the FBI. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Also reacting to the president's comments, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi.
For the president to be so cavalier, to disregard, to be indifferent to law and any sense of ethics, that's an assault on our democracy.
The White House also says President Trump is getting briefings on the attacks on the commercial ships in the Gulf of Oman. The attacks come amid escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A new Florida law is meant to put more cars but not drivers on Florida roads. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signs a bill today encouraging self-driving car technology.
Florida officially has an open-door policy to autonomous vehicle companies, and I encourage them to relocate from California to Florida. We have a much better business environment here.
DeSantis says this measure will be great for Florida, which allows self-driving cars to be operated without human backup. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise praised Capitol Hill police officers Crystal Griner and David Bailey during a congressional baseball practice Wednesday for helping save him from a near-fatal shooting 2 years ago in Virginia.